Taire Yidin Achem Ledeya, Chassidim Anshe Mainzer. I'm not going to reveal any deep insights, or even I don't think I'm going to try to inspire and we'll walk home and then we're very inspired, but what do we give over? I will try actually to do things that I do every day in yeshiva. I lately instituted a concept of giving hashkafa classes in yeshiva. Grace bacherim, choshev v'tayre tumimim. But we need so much today. The poshuts in yonim that were so clear to us are missing today. And trying to sit down with bacherim without mashke, without mezeinis, just for an hour and a half. Adurich gain, fashidin in yonim of havhora and explanation. And perhaps you could take actually these in yonim as we speak tonight and sit down with your family and go through. It's not copyright, and go through the very same things and explain and use them, anecdotes and shalom and so on and so forth, to try to inculcate ourselves with a real message. I tell a story. There was a teacher who was trying to teach math to a child, and he taught the child, listen, your father loaned the person $1,000. The fellow had paid back $500. How much does he owe your father? Child took out a notebook and wrote down $1,000 minus $500. He says, teacher, he owes my father $1,000. The teacher said, you don't understand. He already paid back $500. So he took out a calculator. It's after the 80s. You're allowed to have a calculator in school. And he punches in 1,000 minus 500. He says, yes, teacher, he owes my father $1,000. The teacher lost it. He says, you ignorant child. You don't know your math. He already paid back 500. The child looks up to the teacher in his mind. He says, you ignorant teacher, you don't know my father. We could so many times have two things and look at one thing from two different angles, and they look alike, and they sound alike, and they're heaven and earth. One could be the highest, lemailo mitam vidas, and one could be the very, very lowest, lower, lemata mitam vidas. And sometimes, no, it's tchilas and besayf, and they look alike, and they look the same. I shared a story actually here in Crown Heights once before, that the story was that at the time of Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, all of Hashalom, he was the Rav in Yerushalayim, and the Mufti party, which were Arabs, came to him and they told him, you're a big kanoi. You hate Zionism with a passion, or at least Zionism with a passion. And we too hate them. You don't have enough money to eradicate it. We don't have enough money. Let's get together, make a pact, and together we'll do it. Rabbi Yosef Chaim looked at them and he said, well, I don't like Zionism or Zionists because they're not enough Yiddish for me. You don't like them because they're too Yiddish. He says, we don't see eye to eye, get lost. There's so many things that we have. And there's so many things that look alike in the Goyish of the world, Chachma Bagoyim, and somehow we could find similarities of Chassidus Lahavdil and so on, and we make that mistake of comparing. So I'd like to go through a few things. I'll begin with a story, not a story actually, I heard once from Rabbi Yoel. Rabbi Yoel said once that in the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there was a group, I forgot their name, they were called in Yiddish, he said it, they had the name in English, I forgot the name exactly. But their entire call was talking about the Likus, about Getlachkeit. They were absolute heretics, apikorsim. And they believed the vastness of the universe, the beauty, the majesty, what you had to think, what goes on in one little tiny cell, and microscopically what goes on, the entire worlds go on there. Just that majesty, that greatness, that vastness, that is God. Which means, Rachman al-Itzlan, leiz din, v'leiz dayin. But this is God. The Baal Shem Tov came, and he taught, as opposed to what was taught before that, based on the Shalor HaKadosh and based on others, The Baal Shem Tov taught, Einoid Melvade, not only is there no other God, not only is there no other power in the world, but there is nothing else. There is nothing but Hashem. And it's not even an oit, it's not even an addition, it's a projection of Hashem every second. And the Baal Shem Tov taught, it's not Keil Ha'olam, but it's Keil Olam, as the Rebbe speaks in the Sichas many times. It's Keil Olam, der Eibishter mit Welt, it's not a separate Metzias, ganz Welt, als is der Eibishter, there's nothing else. And you could see the tiny difference between Keil Echad and Keil Acher. There's a little tiny difference between a Reish and a Dalet. Seemingly, they say both exactly the same. One is Kodesh HaKadosh, and the highest he could reach, and one is the lowest of the lower, Rachman al-Atzlan, Apikursus Mamish. I was given the title to speak about Hein Om Levadot Yishkoin Uvagoyim Lo Yischashav. We're not talking about not doing Avedis. We're not talking about not talking Lashon Hara, not eating not kosher, Rachman al-Atzlan. We're talking about Pasha, the Inyan of Uvagoyim Lo Yischashav, the Goyishkeit. The Hanam Levadad Yishkoin does was Yidden Ham. We should realize that, appreciate that. There's a mitzvah in Teder. Alav do Yiraisa lo Yiselchu b'chukeis hagoy. That Alav do Yiraisa is changed in every generation, depending on what the goy does. It's besides what everything is asur and mutter and everything has clarity and so on, and then there is something. Do not follow a goyish pattern. If you look up in Minchas Chinuch, even he has a question on halacha, questions that from many sources in Gemara, and halacha says that if a person is a doctor, he could wear a white coat. Because it's not a goyish chayk. It happens to do that medicine, that's how it goes in medicine. It doesn't have any gaiva in it, it's not hepechatznias and so on. And he questions it at many sources in Chazal is mashma, if the goyim do it, you can't follow it even that way. To stay totally separated from that their hashkafas. So, as mentioned before, we're standing right before Purim, and tonight is America's Nishtandish. Right before Purim, Al Shanahenu Mesudasei Shaloisha Rasha. It's not because they did something so terrible. It's not that it wasn't kosher the Suda. It was absolutely Mahadrim Minam Hadrim, as the Medrash tells us. Was given for everybody the hashgacha he liked, every detail that he wanted, and every prat. It was then that we mingled with goyishkeit, we accepted that, and we started to appreciate that. And that was the original downfall, Rachman al-Atzlan, that was brought about the idea that Haman, Chaz v'Shalom, could have a shlita. So I would like to make a shtikal hakdam. The Gemara says, "Barasi yetzerhara, barasi teira tavlin kinegda." I created a yetzerhara. I created the teira should be a remedy. How we should tackle the yetzerhara. The truth of the matter is that's the expression of Chazal. But teira is kad meleolam alpayim shana. And it's not only Barasi Yetzirhara, Barasi Teira, Tavlin Kenegda, but it's also the opposite. Barasi Teira, and therefore whatever Teira Zog the Alter Rebbe in Tanya, is Zel Umazeh, the Yetzir finds a way for every beautiful new thing in Teira, of every Chiddush in Teira, the Yetzir finds his way how to tackle it. Barasi Teira, Yetzirhara Kenegda. There are many Yetzer Haras in this world. And it's a kluging. There are Yetzer Haras which are exclusive by Chassidim. And a person with Seichel V'Das is not upset and has Seichel understand that we're trying to bring it out because it's only for us. That Nekuda that we said before, Weltishkeit, happens to be that many communities don't suffer from it so much. If you live in a Musar world, was the ganzer Indian is kafir, Indian from Tanesim, und brechen Welt. Und er did Gilgul Shelek. Und in Yonam oft brechen sich und brechen sich. Und die ganze Welt, die ganze Nekude ist Welt des Treff. Then the Yetzer Hara cannot come and sell Welt so much. Welt ist ein Treff von der Sache. The first thing he hears Welt, er entläuft. Ayid will nicht hören Welt. Am Alen Tainti Gitanya. Tachlis Kolo Ilamas. Tachlis kol olam es olam azeh agashmi. Because Atzila is a yirida lo yizbarach. Atzila is an al olam es al yenem es a yirida. It's only a ziva har. The tachlis, atzmes, drückt sich es dafken olam azeh agashmi. All of a sudden, Gashmi has got something that nobody in the world gave it such an existence as Chassidus does. It's an unbelievable reichkeit. But Chalila v'Chalila, the Yetzer, the Kluginger has his way, he's unique, and he says, Gewaldig. Oy bazoy welt, istaka zage shmake zach, so deliver another pie. Let's indulge. I remember when I started learning Chassidus, but I'm in the Lechte, as a bocher, started learning Tanya, first prokem about the Skafia and Aravanya. It was a gewaldig, gewaldig, a new gilu to me. And we learned, and I remember the day that I heard that Atzmus drückt zu Chais Dafke Neulam Azeh Agashmi. I remember the uplifting moment that I had. Because after learning a few years, Tanya, and I knew that I have to get Chassan haben, und darf sich reinlassen in Welt. Welt ist eine treffende Sache. And how can you face Neulam Haza? And there are Nisyenes every moment you go. It's difficult to live in Neulam Haza. And all of a sudden you realize there's no state of shuyas. There's no two dominions. So da beira oilam in gashmi is oilam azeh is der ebishter alein. There is nothing else besides him. And eina kadosh baruch hu betrunya, there is nothing that could really stand in the way. There is no nishoynes als der ebishter. I remember the new life. We went in a tensel in a rekidala. As das der herr, as als is der ebishter. Dieselbe Mishnah, that the Mishnah says, Yofa Shah Achas, Be'olam Haba, Yeser Mikol Chaye Olam Hazeh. There's no bigger bittle to Olam Hazeh than that line has. That's 1 hour in Olam Haba. Puts to shame. Kol Chaye Olam Hazeh, which is Kelel, a life of Shleima HaMelech. All the tanuga yoyla mazeh that a person could ever think of with never having 1 second of agmus nefesh. We don't have the words to describe it. We can't fathom it even. And all of that put together, shitta alfishnin, 6,000 years of that, doesn't come close to a second, to a minute, to an hour in oylam haba. That puts to shame ganz oylam haza. But after that, before that, the Mishnah says, the very same Mishnah, Yafu Shah Achas Bitchuva Maisim Tovim Be'olam Hazeh Yeser Kol Chaya Olam Haba. Adas the Tachlis from everything is not Malachim, Nisht Chapa Malachim. It's not Shmei HaShemayim. Because Shmei HaShemayim Lo Yechal Kelucha, they cannot attain Hashem. Va'afki Abayis Hazeh Dafke Olam Hazeh Agashim. That's Chassidus. And therefore, we're not so scared of Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is a conduit to everything. Teira mitzvahs is dafke, dire betachteinem dafke, Olam Hazeh agashmi betarchava, as Rabbi Oster said before, a dire noes marchivim daitish aladim, with all the harchavas that we could have and we should have in abundance, meyode hamlea harchava. Obit seder her nados alts is a lakus. Einoit. Sigar hecher vi alo ilam esalyenam. But nish chaz v'sholem to make that little tiny mistake as velt is amatzias. I once heard a person, not a Lubavitcher, a person told me once. He says, I love chassidus. I love lekut sichas. And he says, I found very interesting. I found a big commonality between Lakutas Sichas of the Lubavitcher Rebbe and the writings of Reb Shamshon Rufur Hirsch Shalom HaShalom. So I asked him, explain to me, what do you see? What is the commonality? He says, I see the entire Jewish world in the middle between Lubavitch En tweede imada are scared the veld. De veld is een terrible zaak. Die ontluiven van veld. At least they say so. At least they preach so. They demand so from their children. That's their hashkafas achayim. I see the Lubavitcher Rebbe is not scared. Er schreckt zich nicht von veld. He could take a shliach to send him out to Timbuktu. Was oblivious to the ganze welt. Und jeden Jid wird erchappen, dachte ich. Ein Jid, was ist Magushim, mit Akshama, was liegt in Ulam Hazeb, mit Tachle, sunken into his nose. And the Rebbe is not scared of anything. And I see it, if Shamsh and Afar Hilsh, with Teire Mada, is not scared of college, is not scared of Mada, of Veltish Hashkofas, so I see a similarity. When I just swallowed a tear, how come a person could do so in one breath and not see heaven and earth the difference? I'm not Chas v'Shalom here to judge. Shalom Shalom Fal Hish saved thousands upon thousands of Yidden in Germany with this Mahalach, the Rebbe writes it in a letter too. It's not Chas v'Shalom my job to say, but to compare as Chassidus is those that gave a Metzias for Mada, and Chas v'Shalom, there's a Metzias by Bacharim today, by Meidlach, that we could think of. Did the Rebbe allow college? Didn't he in Diyunim and Pilpulim? That's a Yoshev. This is, what's this? Obgefreg beim Rebbe, betachlis, in every way possible. And these are two ktsavis. One is Keil Echad. One is the Keil Oilam and not Keil Ho Oilam. We're not scared of Welt. Welt is the Rebishler. And one is Mada Verta Metzias, a modernity Verta Metzias, and Melepta Leben from them. Mamechta Leben. And these are the two opposites. So while I'm not judging Chalila anybody else, but ourselves we must be judging. Ein Lach, anybody who, Ahoyva Sabikaitis, as the Rebbe writes in Hayim Yain, that Chalila, we shouldn't come to a Matzav, that Chsidis and Teire Mada is the same thing. That is one of the nikidas that you could see and can amazbar zayn the kinder with the hasbara, klara hasbara, that although they look alike and they sound alike, one is the highest of the highest and one is simple oilam haza. When a gishmak in oilam haza, nish nor stam oilam haza, but keneged musr welt, zu Gott und zu Leid, stand leufen, don't run away, it's okay. In shul, you'll be a tzaddik, you'll daven gishmak, you'll learn dafayim, you'll be a lamd notzim. And then you have Olam Hazav to Geshmak, you have a goof too. Well, you can't allow the goof to goof off. You have the neshama to take care. You have to take care of your goof as well. And that's the total opposite of chassidus, of everything which is kodesh lon. There was just a kinnas amchanchem here in Crown Heights of all Hanalas getting together, Mashpiim, and so on. Rabbi Yoel came to speak for a few moments. Rabbi Yoel told over, he said, there are many different ways in chinuch, whether we should go with ahava, whether we should go with imposing on our children. There are different shittas and different malachim. I'm not kameven in them. That's not my line. I'm not going to say any statements about that. But what chinuch is by itself, well, that I'll talk about. So he said, the Hayim Yoim, the Rebbe brings the story that the Tzemach Tzedek asked the Alter Rebbe, how is it possible that Yaakov Avinu lived the best years of his life? The 17 years of his life were the best years of his life, which were in Mitzrayim. And the Alter Rebbe answered him, that because as Yehuda Shalach Lafon of Geishna, because he sent Yehuda first to create a yeshiva, a makim teira, a makim, which Magadlan by Teir, Tzvila, Tshuva, V'chulu. Therefore, this was able to be the best years of his life. And Rabbi Yoel said, and the Rebbe learned that I'm Shatan Dam Oichet, as it says in Tanya today, the Yisrin Hu'ir Min Acheshach, that a Mitzrayim and Ervas Ha'aretz in the lowest point, if you could elevate that, or does it the Tachlis, Kol HaTachlis, Tachlis of everything, is Dira B'Tachteinu. That is the very smetan of the very best years of his life. And Rabbi Yoel finished off, it's an interesting statement, but he said it to the Machancha. He said that last line, the Yisra No'ir Min Acheshech of Mitzrayim, is lav dafka you have to teach little kids. It's enough, he'll hear it when he's 20 or 18. Lenin is in the Sichas. A kind darf man neues lernen, that Mitzrayim, Ervas Horus, ist Klippe und Ra. Er versteht noch nicht Machen sein, was das meint der Yisra in der Minna Chayshach. He just hears Chayshach. And he hears Chayshach is okay. Chas v'sholom. So our Yetzer Hara, because Barasi Teira is such a beautiful, beautiful Teira of Sichas, that the Welt is standing in awe and an appreciation of it, that we see people coming every day more and more to listen and to learn Chassidus. As anybody knows what goes on out of the world there in Chassidus on the line, literally thousands thirsty to hear of art of Chassidus. Tormen is vergessen. We shouldn't forget that there's a Barasi Yetzer Hara, that he likes to take these things and get us complacent and indifferent. And it's okay. It's a got and so light. It wasn't it Rabbi Masmit, who was one of the greatest Chassidim in Lubavitch, that when he was showed the skyscrapers in America, the George Washington Bridge, and people were standing in awe of this beautiful new world that he never saw in Russia. And the expression that he said, that lecham alachem, that had to relieve themselves, and for them, givan oilam haza, and duba lekster the fingers, and you're so enticed by it. And, you know, where did this all come? From davening 8-9 hours a day, from learning chassidus, and from ein oid milvade, this welt is a lekus mamash. Und der Herd, und der ganze Meister von Olam Hase, ist ein Klippes Hashum. It's nothing. I remember I was once in Maristan, in Malamet, in Cheder, before I was in Yeshiva. It goes back 25 years or 20 years. And a kid in the kitten, Cheder, asked me a shayla in front of all the kids. And the question was about, unfortunately, certain lifestyles that are promulgated today in the world, Rahman al-Atslan. Lavim de Reises, Isr Christus v'chulu, which I don't want to even mention. And the child asked it so in front of all the kids, so I just gave him this look. You know, the things which are out of place. They don't belong here. That's it, and I continued learning. That night I got a phone call, and a very angry mother called me, and she said, "How dare you gave him that look? How dare you? A child has a question and you didn't answer it." It is the worst thing in the world that a child has a question and his teacher can't handle him. The teacher doesn't know how to answer him and didn't answer him. And for that notion, next morning there was a meeting. All the mothers got together. And I was literally standing trial as the Rebbe with the long payas, the Hungarian, the fanatical guy imported from Williamsburg, who's this fanatical guy who can't handle these things, a welt, and he doesn't know how to handle this little children. So I came there, and I was standing at the witness stand, and I had to induce a little bit of gaiva, epis, what they call in America, maybe self-esteem, perhaps we'll talk about it soon too. And I asked the woman who was the main accuser, the prosecutor, I asked her, "Tell me, how many bala tshuvas did you make?" She said, I'm not a shlucha, I'm just a regular woman. I said, "But you're a Lubavitcher, I want to know, you know, you go on a train, you have a neighbor next to you, you give a box of matzah. You said the challah Friday. How many bala tshuva did you make?" She said again, "I'm sorry, you're off the subject. I'm not a shlucha, I don't know what you're talking about." So I said, "I brought it up because I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that, fortunately, I am a shliach, and there were at least 60 or 70 bala tshuva went through our hands, who became through our Beis Chabad. And I'm very, very versed in this subject that your son asked me. I give classes about it every night. I'm very well versed in the subject. But I wouldn't think for a moment to turn the Rebbe's cheder into a Chabad house. And that becomes a normal discussion. It's an equal as asking a Shailan Rashi and Tosfos, and this is a normal discussion as children are pondering whether it's right or wrong, and it's our choice to do that. If he has a question that he's really bothered, he could always come privately over to me, and I'll give him the answer. Everybody in Maristan knows that my table is available for anybody who has any question, who could always come over. But to make this the norm, and by the way, I told him, "But you're kind of insinuating that this rabbi is more than insinuating, that he's a fanatical guy." He says, "I want to tell you something. I come from a place which I tired of Yidden. Yirei Shemayim, Erlich Yidden. Without Chassidus. At least without Chassidus Chabad. I came to Chassidus Chabad because I saw quite a few Yidden in Chassidus Chabad that intrigued me. I saw the Medel Futafas, I saw the Berke Chayin, I saw the Bavram Ayor. I sat together with all of them for bringing for hours. I saw the Biel, Havdul Ben Chaim, L'Chaim. And many, many more that I fabrinked. And I saw this Eden that Olam Hazeh wasn't Teifus Mokim at all. I cannot say that in other communities Olam Hazeh is not Teifus Mokim. It's all used for the good things. A Shabbos table is beautiful. Kinderlich gein ongetan with very matching things. Covered Shabbos Kedush. It's a beautiful thing. They use Olam Hazeh for Kedusha. But the Chavarong Kumandan, I didn't find these beautiful homes over here. And I didn't find anything. So I told this. You're talking about a different Lubavitch that I came to, that I know of, because I just sat the day before, I told her, I sat with somebody who stood in the same house as the Mendel Futafas would stay every Tishrei. And he told me that the Mendel Futafas was served for breakfast. I don't know when that was, when his shachas was finished, punkt, I don't know exactly. But he was served an egg, a piece of cake, and a coffee. And he peeled the cake, he peeled the egg, crumbled it into the coffee together with the cake. Don't ask me which bracha it was. I'm sure he knew his brachas very well. And that's how he ate. I told him, I never saw this anyplace else. I don't know which Lubavitch you came to, but I came to something else. But because of that, Barasi Yetzer Hara Tavlin Kinegda, that little mistake that we could all of a sudden make. No, we're open-minded people. We're not fanaticals. We are open-minded people. So I'm just jumping the gun, I'm running ahead. I wanted to talk about four or five subjects tonight to show the clarity between one and the other, or the dividing line. One of them we did now, at least, the idea of Welt, Bechlal, Abteich vom Welt, Keleilam, or Teira Imada, which are the two total opposites, and it seems like that everybody in between are the holy ones, and the one who's standing on this side is very close to the other side. And that is Tchilosan, and that is Seifan. Talking about open-mindedness that we all have today. People think, because we are Chachma Bina Vadas, and therefore, we understand. Like, Havdel Chachma Bagoyim, it's a Chachma. As was very well expressed before, the difference between Emes, Teira, and Chachma. The Rebbe Rashab writes in Chanech Lenar, that those who say that Yidden have blind faith because they just base everything on Amunah, everything is based, and even those who do search, is Da Asalikai Avicha. It's not your God, it's a Yerusha that you got from Matan Torah. It's Da Asalikai Avicha. So the Friedrich Rebbe says, if anybody would search for gold and diamonds, he sets aside $10 million for the project, and he goes to a place which tentatively the maps show that must be gold or diamonds there, and he starts digging. Now he's going to dig 100 meters, 200 meters, 500 meters. He spent already half of his budget, $5 million. Well, it's time to pack up and leave, because after all, how long are you going to search? And lose all your resources. You can't continue like that. So you machlet, do is kein gold nishta. It might be a half a meter away. But your das is too short, and your pocket is too short to reach that. So therefore, it doesn't exist. You know, they tell a story. There was once a person who did research, and he wrote an entire essay. He took a glass box, he put in there a grasshopper. And he came to the grasshopper, and first he knocked on the glass door, and it got excited and started to jump, and he opened the door, took out the grasshopper, clipped off one of its legs. In pain, it went, put it back, and it started jumping from pain. Finally, calmed down. And then he knocked again on the door. You could have, you know by now what happened. It got so frightened, he knows what's coming. Sure enough, he took it out, clipped off the very next leg. And so he did. Repeatedly many times, I don't know exactly how many legs the grasshopper has. Is it 7 or 8? And when it came after the 8th leg, before that, he was on his last leg, as they say. You know? And he knocked on that, he jumped on this leg like going crazy. And then finally he clipped off the last leg, put it back in, and he knocks on the window. Ein koil ve'ein oina. No movement. It's not jumping anymore. So he went and he wrote an essay based on his clinical studies, based on his research, that it must be that grasshoppers hear with their legs. And as soon as the last leg is gone, they can't hear anymore the knocking on the window. That's Seichel Anushi. Chachma Bagoyim. Maybe Taman, as he said, believe it. You know? And so on and so forth. I told, but Barasi Teira, Barasi Yetzer Hara Kinegde. Zele Umazeh. We are Chachma Binadas. We're not Chagas. We're not just instinctive people. We don't patch with the hands, Tamas. We're Bala Seichel, Bala Das, and everything we do has to be Durich Getracht. And through his baininess, Shah Gedoylosh, Amukha, the Alter Rebbe explains. So how can you come and just be Mavatl with just one hand? That, no. Mir Zanon Nisht Uiv Geklärte. Everything about us is Uiv Geklärte and Tracht. I once told them these Ashkafa classes in the yeshiva. And I told them as follows. Imagine Polish Chassidim. The Baal Shem Tov had Chassidus HaKlolis, which Polish Chassidim gave over in Yonam through hearts, Chagas. Reb Chaim Chaykel started davening, as the Alter Rebbe said, and Chaykel davened. And through him, the whole Kohol HaKedesh started davening along, and everybody was elevated to highest levels through his keiches of tzaddikim. That's the keich, that's the way of the Pelish tzaddikim. And he had other influences. They gave shirayim. A Michael of a tzaddik has an effect on a person that elevates the neshama, and so on and so forth. So can you imagine a Yekish Yid arrives in Premishlan, where Meirul Premishlan lives, and he sees a long line of chassidim trying to get shirayim. He's a Yekish Yid, he's far from a chassid, but he heard already that a tzaddik has a koyach and he needs sgulas and remedies, and he too wants to get shirayim from Meirul Premishlan. But it's a problem. The line is too long and it's bitl teira. And also, it's not hygienic. He gives from the same hand, he touches all the apples, and a tonic design apple, and I don't know, maybe he coughed before, or he didn't wash his hands. So nishta yakish azach to take shrayim like that. So he decided, he went home to the Rebbetzin, and he asked the Rebbetzin, what type of apple is the Meirel giving today? So she told him, Grada, that yesterday she bought the apple, it's Macintosh apple. So the Yekish Yid says, "I'm a chayez." Darf ich gehen zu der Mädel? So he goes to the store and he buys Macintosh apple. When everybody will understand how ludicrous such a Yekish Yid is, has no connection whatsoever. What's that Macintosh apple to do anything? It's a Mädel's apple. And so too, and maybe even more so. Ano nafshik savis yahavis. Wie der Rebbe Rashab gesagt, ich gehe in Himmel, in die Ksavim las ich euch. The alte Rebbe ist gekommen mit Chassidus Chabad, that instead of putting it into an apple, instead of putting it into excitement in other different ways, in the Gunem, in Verbrengenischen, he put it into my Marim. Ano, nafshi, Ksavis, Yavis, dem alten Rebben Samaymer, dem Rebben Samaymer, he put it there. When we learn Atesus, we have to understand it. If you ask Sakasha, we have to understand. We have to digest it. When we eat at a Meirel's apple, we just hold it in the shafas as gula, or we have to eat the shrayim. But his apple, not Macintosh. Mit aufnehmen dem Rebens Meimer, oplernen mit Atifkeit, verstehen jeden äußeren Chassidus, which is a lekus mamash. Not zu werden an aufgeklärter und mir verstehen, mir sind open-minded, broad-minded people. I heard from Rabbi Wichdal of Asalam. He said, people come and complain to me. He said, he was a Rosh Hashiva in Tiferes, and people complain, this makes Bala Tshuva. He says, he's brainwashing people. That's what Lubavitch is doing, getting people off the streets and brainwashing them. He used to say, thank God, I have the schus to wash out many filthy brains. I wear it as a badge. Yes, we're brainwashing. But Our Aveda, we're not open-minded as our brains fall out. No, we're not open-minded. We have one Emunah, and it is the greatest fanatical Emunah in the world. Nothing. Not Einoid, not the Rebbe Shtaral, in Ephesus, also to the absolute. Und das Gufa Horevet mit zu verstehen und zu lernen, that that should become digested in our kishkes. We have to do it with Chachma Bina Vadas, which that will bring the Chagas, which that will bring the excitement after understanding that. And that is the fine line that somehow it seems to many, because of this Yetzirah, blurred. Going, standing on both sides of the same fence. Ahead Abisallah, in Abisallah. And that is one of the nekudas also of the scene, as we spoke already, we touched about open-mindedness. I'd like to go on to something more, a little more interesting. People run to therapists today. It's a machla which is called low self-esteem. A bacher will zeklapt, a meidel can't pick him up. And here, through, I want to go through an exercise of touching at the blurred line between the way Teyde would look at it, the way the Rebbe looks at it, and the way Chachma Bagoyim would look at it in many different ways. I'll begin with something which we could use for ourselves, for our children, we could use it in many different areas. And it's an unbelievable muscle that could shed light on many, many things. A person goes on vacation. He goes there to enjoy. And every detail is taken care of. There's a tour guide. There's the one who runs the entire tour. Every meal is catered and figured out where they're staying and everything along the way, the bus and the comfort and every step of the way. Imagine a person who spent $10,000 on an unbelievable one of a lifetime of a trip. He went to some exotic place and it was beautiful. He was there for 14 days and everything went gewaldig. There was one little problem, that the bed, the mattress had some spikes. So he couldn't sleep so comfortable. And that Nebuch hindered his entire trip. The first thing he comes back to the States is he calls up American Express. The first thing is to cancel all the charges. And right he is. If I go on vacation, if I am going to have a good time, as mentioned before, I should have it all the way. What does it mean that my needs were not met? What does it mean that I was uncomfortable in a few moments in life? If that's what life is, then you need therapists every day and every moment, and nothing will work. Because anybody who has 100 wants 200, and if he has a million, he needs 2 million, he's poorer than the poor beggar who's missing 10 cents. That is not only figuratively, but practically speaking, his lifestyle costs him so much every day. And the daigis, marben echasim, he just doesn't have a life. He needs so much. There is no such a thing as going through life without a spike in your mattress. There's no such a thing. And if you try to find it and to explain it, if I am here on vacation, it's a gewaldige kasha, and nobody will answer it. You'll smoothen it. You'll make me look the other way. You'll give me courage how to overcome it. You'll do all kinds of techniques. And I'm not a maven on all kinds of techniques. Maybe some of them are very good. And temporary, maybe sometimes somebody needs it because he's so chvesnishvas. But it's all chachma bagoyim. Imagine a soldier in Afghanistan. And he's from the Navy SEALs, and his only mission in the world is to get Osama bin Laden. That's all he has in his life. That's all he lives for. And it's for the 14th night that he's in a ditch, because he can't raise his head above the ground because there are bullets flying all over. But he's a block away from Osama bin Laden, and he would not move from his post. Can you imagine him coming out and say, oh, my back hurts. It was so terrible. That's what he lives for. That was his mission. This is who I am. This is my badge, my pride, my joy. This is all who I am. He doesn't need a therapist. He could tell the therapist much more than the therapist ever knows. You know, they tell the story that there was the man who won $1 million and they were so scared how to tell him. He had a weak heart. So they got a therapist to tell it to him. And the therapist asked them a question. How was life? Do you ever buy lottery tickets? Of course, yes. Did you lately buy? Yes. And if you would win $25 million, would you give for my worthy cause? You know, I'm helping so many people. Would you give me $8 million? And you know, would have, could have, should have is an easy thing. Before you win, you're the biggest giver. You could give everything. He said, maybe not 8 million, but 5 million I sure give you. You're such a worthy cause, of course. So he said, excuse me, are you serious? He said, yes, you're such a nice man. He says, can you sign on this on a paper? Why not? Would have, could have, should have. He took a piece of paper, and as soon as he started signing, the therapist fainted. And then he knew that he won $25 million. If we come to Olam Hazeh, Welt is Welt, and vacation is vacation, then you need a therapist, because there are too many spikes. Too many spikes. If you're a soldier in Afghanistan, if this is your life, we have a mission in life. And this is who we are. And if you want, you could extrapolate with this mashal and go through the entire spectrum of Judaism. You have people who come to Afghanistan. It's a beautiful country with a lot of mountains, exotic places, and they come for vacation. They have problems because their troubles, agmas nefesh, and so on. There are people who come to Afghanistan, civil engineers working for the American government. They don't come for a vacation. They're coming with a mission to make a buck. You and me have a job here in New York. His job is overseas. He's paid by the government, but he's a civil engineer, and he's not enlisted in the army. He's not even a volunteer. He is a private employee working for the government. You can imagine. Then you have a person who is an employee. He works, is enlisted in the army. His job is to work for the army. That's his mission in life. But he watches every day his brownie points. What did I do right? For what will I get this medal? For what will I get that medal? And so on and so forth. And then you have that man who's lying in the ditch and has nothing else in his mind. There's nothing else. I need to get Osama bin Laden. This is what I live for. This is my life. If you want, you can hear in this Goyishkeit. You could hear vacationing, Rahman al-Islam, the person without the oil of Teda, which has nothing, it has ich and ich. Then you can hear a person, to God and to light, I'm going to help out. But what is there for me? I need my paycheck. Ich bin dort, ich bin gegangen, weil ich will arbeiten. You might say, modern orthodoxy, to God and to light, I'm there, I have my hotel room, I have my enjoyments every night, I give 7-8 hours a day. As a very good employee. I work for the government. And then you have a soldier. He knows this is my mission. But in that gufa, is it counting your brownie points for Olam Haba? Or is it what the Rebbe said 1,000 or 100,000 times over and over? Ani nivresi l'shamesh eskeini. And the Rebbe was never satisfied with that nusach either. And the Rebbe always repeated, of the other girsa, ani loy nivresi elo l'shamesh eskeini. If you go through with such a gisha, this answers so many questions. But let's come back to the idea of low self-esteem, which is a little bit not exactly the same concept as comfort and other things a person suffers. He's broken, he doesn't feel, he looks all his chaverim and they are uplifted and they have a goal and a drive and he doesn't have a drive, it's a geitnisht. And he's taka batlan, Allah yitzlach, shlemil, it's a geitnisht. There's a sikh of the Rebbe said once, if you want to have your own self-esteem, how high could your esteem be if you're karutz mechemer? How high could the esteem be? But if your esteem is that you're an evet lemelech, evet melech melech, If you are a servant, Melech, Malchem, Lachim, HaKadosh, Baruch Hu, the sky isn't the limit. It's Atzilus isn't the limit. It's the Eibishter Alein, Ein Seif. That's our esteem. Can you imagine? I was once in the Chabad house, and somebody asked me in the Chabad house an interesting question. She said, how do you describe to the outside world? That was a person from the outside world as well, but seemingly she's not asking for herself, like the story with the Rebbe Marashach, Frek Farad Zaytan. How can you describe for people who are secular, who never learned Torah, that V'hoyu Melochim Imnaich, that all the Goyim will become servants to Yidden, and they will all be there for Yidden? You know how chauvinistic, how biased that statement is? How can you say such a thing? And especially in a world of egotism. I'm sorry, a world which is egotism, but it's a world of egalitarianism. Everybody is equal. Men, women, everybody, whatever you want. You're a Kohen, I want to be a Kohen. You're a Levi, I want to be a Levi too. Why am I not a Levi? Why am I not a Kohen? And all these types of things, which does not exist in the army. It exists when I go on vacation. Oh, your bed is good, I want that too. Your room is a nicer room than mine, I want that too. And so on and so forth. Because when I live for ich, that's how good. I want to be equal. If we all live for a mission, the government needs an air force. It needs an army. It needs a naval base. And whatever I was chosen to be, that is the greatest place on earth. That is the greatest mission I was given. Because Eved Melech, Melech, this is my greatest pride. I explained this woman. She came to Chabad house a lot. She understood already a concept of a Rebbe. I asked her one question. I would like to ask you a question. If Rabbi Chadika of Olav HaShalom picks up a phone to me, talking 30 years ago, picks up a phone to me and says, Adon David, the Rebbe decided he needs another secretary. The Kanayin Harder, the letters that come in every day, it's not like it used to be, we need another person. What would be my first question I ask him? What is my paycheck? How many hours is it? Or my first question would be, when do I show up? And I would run on four, on all my legs, to be there in a split second. And that she understood. But it wasn't an easy work by any stretch of imagination. It wasn't easy, it wasn't comfortable, it wasn't what we call in America, fun. The most fulfilling thing in the world. The most fulfilling thing you could ever think of. Eved Melech. How can you be a bigger thing than Eved Melech? When the Goyim and the entire world will realize the Beira Olam, that he chose his children, B'nai Yisrael, B'nai B'chayri Yisrael, who in the world wouldn't want to run and do anything and everything they can to attach themselves to at least be called at least an Eved of Klal Yisrael. That type of Ashkafa, Herzich nicht Bagoyim, ganz nicht. Doesn't exist. This is nishtah. And that leads me into another thing, which is another point, which we discussed, Weltischkeit, self-esteem. The idea of what we spoke of before, of Rabbi Yoel saying, the Zwei Wegen of Mechanech San. And many people also equate Chassidus as Teuf. Chassidus is like holistic medicine. It's not like Musar. It doesn't crush. It doesn't punish. It uplifts a heptuf. V'chulu v'chulu. And therefore, Chassidus, as we said before, my people think it's open-mindedness, free choice, that the beauty of Chassidus will change him. Hamoyer shebo yachzirenu l'mutav. And don't coerce, don't impose. I'd like to point out a few things about this. The Rebishter gave the Torah to the Yidden. And Yidden said, Nasa v'nishma. And to the extent that the Malachim lost it, Mi gilu raz elubonai, they lost it. And they got two crowns for it. Echad keneged Nasa, Echad keneged Nishma. These are the moments of Klal Yisrael, exalted at the highest moments of Klal Yisrael. And then all the Rishonim ask a Shaila, why did the Rebishter pick up a mountain and said, Kofa aleihem har kigigis? For such Yidden, have such rotzoi to the Eibishter, such Übergegebenkeit to the Eibishter, why the necessity of Kaf Aleihem Harki Gigis? The Rishonim asked the Teisves, and the answer, Teirish Abapeh, Teirish Abiksav, different terutzim. And the Pshat HaPoshut, Torah wasn't given only to follow your mood. If you choose so, if you're in the mood, then you'll do it. And Chaz v'Shalom, Ad Shamelech b'msibay nirdu nosan reichay, 40 days later, was an egg lozav. Now I'm not in the mood. Absolute truthness doesn't depend on my mood. And here is the divide between Hanom Levodoid Yishkenu Vagoyim Lo Yischashav. Bagoyim, there is no such a concept of absolute truth. Who am I to impose on my child anything? Who am I to say what's moral, what's ethical, what's right? It changes, the consensus of people changes in every generation. It changes by the moment. It changes by popularity and so on and so forth. As the famous person said, when my child will be 16, I hear it in the Chabaras many times. I don't impose. That's not truth. That's not Torah. That's not Yiddishkeit. I don't impose. I will present both of them to my child when he's 16. I'll give him a sicha. I'll give him a sefer, a book in English that talks about Judaism. And I'll give him the world. And he'll have seichel. He'll choose. And you know, it's hilarious. You know exactly what this child is going to choose when he is 16. You know? We know exactly what it's going to be. I told the story many times before here of this famous professor who taught this new way of professing and teaching that you cannot impose anything. There is no absolute truth. You could convince, you could teach, you could try to explain, and if he chooses so, he'll do it. So the 1,000 people sitting there, and a guy in the back, Yidala, raises his hand and he says, "Professor, is it true that you never reprimanded your children? Is it true that you never imposed anything? You never spanked a child?" He's totally lost, caught off guard. He says, "Me? Coercing? Spanking? Seldomly. Almost never. Rarely. Seldomly. And if when, it was only in self-defense." That's the idea of such type of a chinuch. It's only in self-defense, because Torah has something that nobody in the world has, as mentioned before, emes, absoluteness. We could give over to our children something which is absolute. It's not a question, it's not hesitant. It's Torah Mesinai, and Mesedas Ovis, going back 3,500 years, which nobody has. And yes, a goy has a problem with that. Somebody told me, it's a true story. Somebody told me that she was in a college. It was actually one of the so-called kosher colleges. It was only for girls or something. And they made everybody write an essay. It was a teacher who wrote them to write an essay. And the essay was about your difficult times in your childhood and how you were abused by your parents. That was the story. So everybody wrote pages and pages, and she wrote a few lines. I had the best parents in the world, never abused me. They gave me the best life in the world, and I really can't thank him enough for it. And she got a C-, and a big sign read over there, "You live in denial." Maisa Shoya. And the professor was right. 100% right. Because if you live in a goyish world, when there's no absolute, who knows what's right? It changes every day. Society changes. So if you're an idealistic person, for sure you're coercing your children wrong things. You're teaching them one set of rules which tomorrow will be absolutely taboo. I once with my children. They had some nasal congestion, and the doctor told me, "You must use a vaporizer at night." I asked them, "A cold vaporizer or the hot one?" He smiled. He said, "Rabbi, for this year it's a cold vaporizer. Next year, I don't know." That's the code protocol today. You know, that's even a science. Forget about ideals, isms, beliefs, morals, ethics. We know that. When people ask me in the Chabaras this week, Shabbos, about korbanos, how could Judaism teach that? Slaughtering animals, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole thing. It took an hour. But I just told them one thing. We are walking on the most solid bridge in the world. You don't have clarity in this. Because when you speak about filet mignon, you know, mouth watering, you know, or talking about a pastrami sandwich, what you're saying is that somebody raised a little goat, a little lamb, so with tender love and care, only to slaughter him one day. But for rituals, oh no, 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 God forbid. So you're totally confused. We go on a solid bridge. Hashem gave us the world, and He told us the purpose of everything, and we know the purpose of animals, that it's to bring it up to Chai, and to Chai, to Medaber, and so on and so forth. We don't have that confusion. But I asked them a question. Don't you think that we just, because what you think is immoral is really immoral? Let me ask you something. And I asked the lawyer, let me ask you, is slavery moral or immoral? He said, unequivocally, it's absolutely immoral. I said, 100 years ago, was it also 200 years ago in America? No, of course, we learned, we evolved. It's evolution, of course, we become civilized more. I said, yes. I went to visit as a chaplain to a penitentiary, to a correctional facility. It wasn't a maximum security facility. It was a federal prison for people who cheated on taxes, something like that. And there were two people sleeping in one cell. And excuse me, please pardon me, but it's a true story. And one bathroom in the room with no mechitzas. And you tell me there's no slavery in America. Because you decided to call it a correction facility. The Torah said if somebody stole money, that you should take him and sell him. And he would work and pay back from the money that he gets or for the labor that he gets. And he'll pay back his chayv. And that is immoral. But to denigrate a person to that level, lock him up for 27 years and put him in such a place. And oh no. And you have the guidelines of morality and as a shayla on doing karbonis. So we see how we go. So a Yid who doesn't have Torah doesn't have any absoluteness. And yes, he violated his children left and right. Anything he told them was wrong. Especially if he's not an idealistic person, he's clashing with him every time. Anytime the father wants to go on vacation, he has three children at home, he can't go. Oh, so we'll hire a babysitter, and they suffer for 3 weeks. And it's all about me and you, egalitarianism, who comes first. It's all about clashes. But if you live such a life of Torah, with clarity of Torah, your most solid bridge in the world. And yes, it's not called imposing. I remember we were sitting last year in Maristan on Shabbos Achdus. We brought down Harav Olberg from Manchester. And he chazert a gewaldige vart of Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. An unbelievable vart to the Rebbe. Kof Aleim Har Kigigis, and he said it in a beautiful mashal. He said, Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. He says, imagine the Rebbe calling you. You're in Yechidus, and the Rebbe tells you, Shmedel, I need a shliach in this shtetl. Do me a favor. It's urgent. Go home. Imluch b'dibisu. Discuss it with your wife. And I need an answer by tomorrow. I'm sure this chassid is elated. The Rebbe picked on me, handpicked, asked me to do something. And of course, there's no shaila that he goes on before he even asked his wife. The answer is written back. Yes, of course, yes, yes, I'm ready. I'm running. But then, there's another chassid who walks into Yechidus, and the Rebbe says, I need a shliach in such and such a place, a very difficult place, but nobody could do it, only you. And Zamir, tell your wife that you're going. I would like to know which shliach would be prouder, first or the second. Kof Aleim Har Kigigis, you can't force a neighbor's child. You have to tell him, ask him, maybe free choice, are you ready? Go home, discuss it with your wife. Your own child, you don't ask questions. If you're a real chassid of the Rebbe, that's the one that Rebbe doesn't ask. That's the one, Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. Das is the Emes, this is Chaim, Emes Chaim, here it is. It's not about your mood. Then I would ask you to do it with Nasav and Ishma. Shloya Manas Lekabul Pras, with the greatest Ahav in the world, what I imposed. Emes is emes. Mikol tzate pina. That is aris. That's how you present it. And you want the children should not do it in oifen from kfir, nebuch, but with the greatest pride and happiness and satisfaction and so on. And they go beide biyachad dafke. There was a bacharel sitting there, and he asked the shayla middle of the fabrenge. It's Purim heint. Then it wasn't, it was Shavuos. It was Nasa v'nishma, it was kafalei marki gigis. He said, the oib azoi favozog the gemara, that hodar kablua b'meyachashverish b'simcha. If Kaf Aleim Harki Gigis is much deeper and greater than Asa V'Nishma, then why is it that Kaf, that Yidin, so Mekame Doi Rabbe Le Reise, the Gemara says, and Dafkin Purim was in this battle geworden, that Indian, and then they were Mekabalit on their own. It wasn't coerced. It was something they felt for it. It was their 2 cents in it. So the Melech sitting there, and right away, in an instant, he said that there's a sicha of the Rebbe. That the Rebbe explains that the Welt versteht, she said it in a halbe Wort. Wie teitsch de Welt hoder kablua? Mekam edoi rabo loi reise means that until then, Yidin did it nebuch because it was kafalei makigigis. And then on Purim, mehavas haneis, they themselves were makabal what? They were makabal oil teira, they were makabal the teira behava. Says the Rebbe, it's a tois. Or not a tois, it's a tifer for them. Says the Rebbe, Hodor kablu b'meyach ha-shveirish, that concept of kof aleim harki gigis, that Yidin didn't understand that it is the greatest matana ad Rebbe shter frekti rafilanisht. He doesn't even ask you, that they couldn't grasp. Me'ahavas ha-neis, they finally understood the gewaldige meile, the reichkeit, the richness of what it means, kof aleim harki gigis. That is the hoder kablu b'meyach ha-shveirish, the truthfulness, the emes of what Torah is. And therefore, the divided line is so divided, it's not even blurred, that the Chachma Bagoyim ken dem inyan nish geben. And we have that, but we have to feel it. We have to give it over in such a way, as discussed before, I don't want to repeat. And finally, I just want to finish off with one little thing. That will be the final thing, with the idea of what I mentioned before, the idea of fun. A person who goes on vacation goes for fun. A person who goes to Afghanistan doesn't go for fun. Goes for fulfillment. We have to teach our children. I'm not even sure which word is a Yiddish word for fun. Please raise your hand if any Yiddishist around. Ich weiß nicht the word for fun in Yiddish. My parents didn't teach it to me. I fulfillment, sipuk hanefesh, of course. In Lashon HaKodesh, the word for fun, maybe there is, but it's derogatory. It's chayk v'kalas reish, halalas, something like that. Sibuk, a child has to have sibuk hanefesh. A child has to have a beautiful home, kept together, good food, an environment that it's comfortable and warm. He feels there's a izin shema, somebody listens to him. Has to be always there that he feels sibuk, that I'm worth living for. I have something very special. But we make a mistake many times, followed by Chachma Bagoyim, that in order a child should be happy, we have to introduce constantly fun. And it's as if it's not only a medium, a means to an end, but also to make kids happy. Zazach. That doesn't make kids happy. After a while, you can't take it anymore. How many ice creams can you have? You know that you just, it becomes a gael nefesh. But sipuk of real food, of real nourishment, is something that the kid always will take more and more, even though he doesn't like it at the beginning. When he gets used to it, it's the greatest thing in the world. It's true that a child has a nefesh elikis and a nefesh abahamis. And the nefesh abahamis in a child is very strong, and you have to cater to it. So a child has to play, he has to have toys, has to be good times and such things. But in his mind, he always has to know that this is a means to an end. And if you want to know what the measuring stick, the yardstick for the right way, if we do it right, and let's think to ourselves. It's Krishna Shalamita now. Not confessing to anybody, but to ourselves. It's before bedtime. Let's admit to ourselves, if a child says in his mind, thinks, when I'll grow up, now I'm restricted. My tati lost mishtandos, my mommy lost mishtandos, I can't do this, I can't. When I will grow up, I'll be just like my tati, I will have a lot of fun. Then we know we failed this child. Miserably. When this child will say, will see, my tata left with a mission. My mommy left with a mission. And with sipuk achaim, I always ask bacharim in yeshiva. Rachman al-Atslan, I said, the bacharim nebuch, he wanted to leave. I asked him, what do you want to do? You want to go have fun? You want to enjoy life? So you're going to go to Manhattan every night and have nightlife? I want to ask you and tell me the honest truth between you and your very etzen, your very soul. Do you think you're going to be happier than a Mendel Futterfass ever was in his life? You're going to be happier than a Mendel Futterfass was when he was in a dungeon in the cell in Siberia. And all of them agree, no. Did you see if I kvetched the person? A tzebrochen a mensch, after being 9 years in jail, 17 years away from a family. So gelochten with the greatest sipak nefesh. If a child realizes, I'm a child, I can't learn a whole day. And so to an adult takes a vacation day, I'm not going to deny it. Because the meich platz, then you have to have time with your family, with your wife sometimes. So we have a nefesh abamias. So we eat, we sleep, yes, we have vacations. We do that. But that is exactly because the soldier sometimes needs to get a rest, he can't anymore. He's breaking under the soldier in the ditch, needs a bed. So you give him whatever it's available in the army, but he needs something too because he has an nefesh abamias. But at the moment the child that heard a mein tata had vacation, and I'm waiting for the day, Mosai Yagia Maisai Lamaisai Avisai, then he heard fun. Then he didn't hear Avedis Hashem. These are two distinct, two separate things. So the Rebbe is to help that. That we shouldn't allow the Kluginkir, the Yetzer Hara of Zacharein Chapm, and blurred all these things which were so clear by Chassidim. And unfortunately, that America, because the Hakshama, what it did was, we're learning Chassidus, and we're learning the Rebbe's Chassidus, we're learning the Reichste Yanam of the Welt. But the Hakshama could make something blurred. And if you have a cataract, the very same thing which is so sweet and so beautiful looks blurred, and you don't see the light. Arab Tzenemen, the cataract. America is nicht anders, the selbe Chassidus. The same goals that it was for those Chassidim, Chanyakishkeit, and the goal is given, Anna, Avda, the Kutsha Brichu. This was the greatest sipuk in life, that is the very same Anna Avda today. Yes, we could give it over. Finish off with the story, the famous story that the Baal Shem Tov, when the Baal Shem Tov Chassidim came and they started dancing and davening, and they started having a sipuk achaim from Iskafia, a sipuk achaim from Avedis Hashem. At that moment, Mesnagdim didn't know what to do with themselves, and they started making fun. A chosid stayed in a winkel, and then you find them in another winkel, like Reb Akiva. And the Baal Shem Tov said the famous mashal that there was a fellow who was sitting with professors, a very deep thinker, a philosopher, but unfortunately he was deaf. And he was sitting at a banquet, and they were serving the finest food in the world, and they were sitting discussing the most profound, deepest ideas. But all of a sudden, he lost it. He realized that a symphony of 60, a 60-piece band came up on stage, and all of his friends, all of these deep thinkers, philosophers, all of a sudden dropped the fork with the knife and all took to the dance floor. And Nebuch, they all perfectly sane people became insane in a second. They all started going like this, and like that, and like this, and like that. And he didn't know what to do. And the Baal Shem Tov said, you will never explain this fellow. Never in your life will you answer the question. Just unclog his ears. Make sure that he too is tuned in to the very same music that the neshama hears. And you will see that he too will take the dance floor and do exactly the same thing. We have to know, our children have a neshama. Chassidus deals with neshama. Chassidus deals with neshama. And I told children many times, when Bacharim tell me, I don't feel it. You're telling me it's the absolute truth? I absolutely don't feel it. It doesn't talk to me. Rabbi, I don't know which world you live. It doesn't talk to me. And it's an honest question that kids ask. They live in America. And you tell him America's nicht anders. Er sagt, Rebbe, es ist anders. What are you telling me? You're lying to me. So I asked the child the question. Imagine a child who was kidnapped when he was the age of 2 or the age of 1 year old. You could be rest assured that when he was taken out of his mother's lap, he was fainting and crying because there's no bigger tsar in the world of a kid separating from his mother. The mother fainted, he fainted, but the man had enough ice creams at hand, enough toys, everything in the world he gave him. And then finally, 20 years later, he became a donor and he took some blood tests and he realized some DNA tests were done and he found out that he's a perfect match for this woman who lives, happens to live in Puerto Rico, doesn't even live here, doesn't even speak her language. And it turns out they went through to the birth certificates, it was a mistake. Or it was a kidnapper, as I told the story. He was kidnapped and he realizes now his real mother is. Now, he knows the truth. He's a smart child. He knows that this is a kidnapper. He doesn't want to look him in his face, even though he was so good to him. He was so good to him for 18 years. Everything and anything he has in the world is thanks to this man. All the potato chips, all the ice creams, all the education, everything he has. But it's sheker. And he goes to his mother now, that he doesn't even speak her language. He's going to try to learn. Every day, like the Rebbe would go to his mother, he learned, kibud aveim, he brings a newspaper, he has a tea with his mother, and anybody asks him, do you feel for this woman? Not yet, not really. Would anybody say, this man is a faker? It's a facade. It's coerced. It's not the emes. It's imposed upon. That's not you. Is there anything more emes in the world than a child meeting face to face with his mother? Is there anything more emes in the world, more sipuk b'chaim than the emes? Or you could say, no, I'm kidnapped and I love my kidnappers. But that is the emes. So yes, we throw a bendel once in a while. Yes, we have toys and we have many things. But that's nefesh abahamis. Our children enjoy the truth, want the truth, and even if they don't feel it, it's not imposed upon them. Let's give it to them with the joy and dancing as the Baal Shem Tov taught us, with the chassidus, with the memorim and the sichas of the Rebbe, the ultimate absolute truth, and they will enjoy it and reciprocate, and will have a emesa, simchas purim, and simchas olam al resham, which is the simcha for all the simchas, Mashiach tzidkainu now with the Rebbe back, amen.
Amen!
Thank you very much, Rabbi Ganz. I'd like to ask Rabbi Korf just to say a few words. He came here especially to come to speak to us. Rabbi Korf, can I come see you? Soon.